Hey folks, Future Will here. Just noting that if you're listening to this episode the week it comes out, we are rapidly approaching Duckstream, which is kicking off this Friday, December 12th at 6 p.m. It's our 48-hour charity marathon. We are raising money for Point of Pride, an organization that offers direct national help to trans people around America who need it because everything fucking sucks out there. We'll be working 12-hour shifts again. So the Portland crew, that's me, Gary, Nick, Gwen, and I think Brayton, doing 12-hour shifts from 6 p.m. Pacific to 6 a.m. Pacific, and then Kay will handle the day shifts, and then we'll switch off again. We've got a lot of fun stuff planned, a lot of stupid stuff planned. Really looking forward to it. It's the, you know, my most fun night of the year, and I hope y'all will join us to raise money for a good cause. Hello and welcome to Everything to Guppy, the podcast where we talk about every single item, every single enemy, every single everything in The Binding of Isaac. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by a man with the death cure, Gary Butterfield.
And he's...
And he's also the Batman of podcasting. Gary, for some reason, I'm a little off rhythm.
Yeah. And you are the Bob of podcasting, by which I mean the Joker's henchman in the first Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah, because they got to give Joker somebody to talk to so he's not just doing monologues or being a very bad boyfriend.
It was before Harley Quinn's, you know?
I mean,
before one must imagine a Joker in love.
Well, he has the girlfriend who is kind of a riff on Harley Quinn, although I think this is literally before Harley was invented.
She's also a model that he sprayed acid in her face.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, pretty bad boyfriending.
It's not good boyfriending. I've never done it to any of my significant others, and I think it's one of about four reasons I'm a better person than the Joker.
Let me think if I've done it.
You've dated a lot more people than I have.
Yeah, big body count. Big body count. I don't think so.
Yeah, I forgot you're a Buddhist boyfriend, so you hang out under the Bowdy count tree.
I hang out it's my Bowdy count. This is Monster Blitz. Of course, we're going through every monster in the
Binding of Isaac. Committed to going through every single monster in the Binding of Isaac, and that nothing will shake us from that commitment.
And I picked up your reference, I think, to this monster, because it's the Maze Runner, right?
The Death Cure is the third book in the Maze Runner trilogy of YA ripoffs, whereas the monster we're talking about today is the Maze Roamer.
Is the Maze Runner the one that has the Scorch Trials?
It is, Gary. The Scorch Trials is the second book.
I love the Scorch Trials so much.
I like the Death Cure more as a phrase because it's so powerfully stupid, but the Scorch Trials is very evocative.
The Death Cure sounds more serious to me.
It's
and
such
the Scorch Trials also sounds like one of the American Gladiators has been tried for murder.
True.
You know, which I like.
Your Honor, I'd like to call to the stand Blaze.
Yeah, Judge.
No, that's so. Don't trouble yourself with the English language, Blaze. One grunt for yes, two grunts for no. Did you see Scorch actually hit the victim with his giant Q-tip that he had secreted a big lead weight inside? I'm sorry, Mr. Blaze. You seem to have stuttered on your second grunt. Could you grunt twice, please, in a more clear way? Mr. Blaze, please do not nut in my courtroom. And scene. I'm just a simple country lawyer representing an American gladiator.
and kind of a judge as well.
A little bit, yeah.
And doing cum control on the gladiators.
That is my favorite 80s album that you're not allowed to listen to anymore.
That would be a hard job on the gladiators. Because I imagine the gladiators are like the Olympic Village where they're just having sex nonstop.
I guess so. I mean, not to cast aspersions, but I assume that there was a higher than average incidence of steroid use on that set.
Yeah.
And I, that does do things to nothing.
It shrinks your penis, right? Does it make it little?
I don't have a good answer to this question, Gary. And I not okay. one I'd feel comfortable opining on in anything but the most oblique of terms.
I wonder if any of our listeners are big steroid heads.
Yeah. Do we have any big? I hope not. I'd like thinking that I could out-wrestle almost all of our listeners.
It'd be scary. Like a roided up guppy fan comes up to us.
No one we met. Some of the people that we met at the most recent meetup were surprisingly handsome, but none of them were surprisingly big.
It's a, in terms of fandoms and cast, I would say that Duckfeed is one of the least strong organizations.
Sure. I am now, I think, the strongest person. I haven't seen all the level people, but I am, I think, the strongest person on the network.
You're not stronger than Jala.
Oh, fuck. Fuck. No. Shut. Yeah. I take it back. I take it back. I fucking take it back.
Jala will rip you in half. Fuck. Shut up.
Shit.
You're courting disaster. Like,
I forgot about Jala.
Yeah, but probably second, I'd say. Good. You know? Second's a kind of good.
Just on pure being able to fall over on people.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I used to be able to do.
Yeah.
Nick could get up behind people and trip them.
Oh, Nick with a knife I wouldn't fuck with.
Yeah, I don't think I would either.
Nick with a knife. He's, yeah, God.
Cagey.
Get into places.
Yeah. Right between the ribs.
Like that little kid in, like the little zombie kid in Pet Sematary. Get the, get your hamstring. Sorry, Herman Munster.
Yeah. I would not like Nick to cut my hamstring with a knife, but he's probably my friend who's most able to do so.
But least likely personality-wise.
He's pretty close to least likely.
I'm more likely, like, right?
You're more... Oh, of course you're fucking more likely.
Okay.
But I was thinking about Brayden, and Brayden is more surprising. Brayden's not violent, you know?
Oh, but when he was, you won't see it coming.
Exactly. Whereas Nick, I feel like I also won't see it coming, and he's got the smallness advantage to hide into, like, crawl spaces and stuff.
Yeah, whereas Levi won't even pick up the knife until you're fully sedated on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's Thanksgiving Eve and you're being served.
I'm being very uncharitable to a person who invited every Thanksgiving lets me come to his home and be the loudest jackass in his house while he makes beautiful food
and eat delicious food.
Yeah. And we get to watch General Levi marshal his troops in the kitchen, which is always fun.
It's incredible, the amount of organization. And he's got like a crew now. It used to just be mostly him.
Yeah.
But now his brother comes and helps and Jen helps. So it is a, like, it's a full thing. They got a fourth guy now.
Michael.
Like, it is a staff that cooks us Thanksgiving dinner and we don't have to do nothing.
We just sit and are asked, dessert. Also asked to do nothing.
Yeah. Like, we try. I try every year. And he's like, oh, the kitchen is pretty full. I'm like, you're fucking right. That is true. I'd make it my business to get in the way.
Yeah. Olivia and I got there first of the non-cooking components this year because we arrived 10 minutes late. And y'all are psychopaths. And we were explicitly told, go sit on the couch.
Yeah.
Politely.
You don't show up on time to a party.
I do because it's the time they put on the thing.
Well, all right.
This is like, I'm not trying to steer too hard into probably not neurotypical, but that's some real neurotypical bullshit, man.
I'm going to say it's some real dorky bullshit. The,
okay. Both. Yeah,
the, anywho.
I put a time on my invitation that is 30 minutes before you should arrive.
It's a fun little game.
It's not.
It's not really a. It's with this one, I feel like with this, like, arrive at 2, food at 2:30, and like, let's be a fucking honest, it was actually probably food at 2:50.
It was a little,
like, I think that it's like pretty understood. You don't need to show up right at 2:30.
Ah, but I didn't understand.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm there to explain it.
Great.
We have Thanksgiving, and you know what that means? We're recording this on Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
What doorbusters did you get this Black Friday?
Oh, I mean, the real answer is that for the last 2 years, I've been buying PlayStation Plus Premium for my sort of adopted niece so that she can okay. have a year of it. And it's way, way cheaper on Black Friday.
Hmm. Awesome. No, that's good.
So she gets a big library of games to play that don't cost any money.
A good gift.
Yeah, because her birthday is a little bit earlier in November, and it's just and she can play like online with us and stuff. It's, you know, I know it's kind of like, you know, getting sucked into those like subscription ecosystems is a little lousy in some ways. But if I was a kid and you told me, hey, here's a catalog of 150 games you can download, I'd be like pigging shit. So
imagine being a kid and getting access to GameTap.
Oh man, yeah, I loved GameTap, man.
Panzer Dragoon. I did my Christmas shopping.
Ooh.
Did some of my Christmas shopping with Doorbusters.
Gary, do you want to talk about the super earnest message you sent me about Christmas shopping this year?
Yeah.
It really caught me off guard in a way I enjoyed.
Ordinarily, when I say something earnest to you, it does catch you off guard.
Yeah.
You don't expect it from me, even though I consider myself to be one of the more earnest.
Well, then it also came completely out of the message came out of the blue.
Yeah, I don't want to lean too hard into my non-neurotypicalness, but I have anxiety stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about worst case scenarios based on a decision I had made.
Sure.
I
just get a random text saying, hey, I might not get you a Christmas gift this year, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's not what I said.
Okay. Yeah, this is your anxiety. You tell me what you said.
Yeah. I said, we're going on a budget this year for Christmas, so I've got you something, but it's not huge, so don't go all out.
Which I never have.
Because you don't go all out, but we usually give each other good Christmas gifts, typically. You're not all out like a hoverboard, but we usually give each other something nice.
This is a place where I have no anxiety. If I just can't think of a good gift to get for someone, I just don't get them a gift that year, and I assume that we're all adults.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't thought of a good gift for you this year, so I might not get you anything this year.
That's okay.
I get something for my wife every year, and that's basically the only person I feel socially obligated to get anything for.
And you and I do birthdays more than Christmas.
True.
But I was thinking, in my head, I was like, okay, I got Will this trinket. What if Will got me something really nice? I'd feel bad.
Would you? Because it'd just be nice for me.
Yeah.
And not even the usual guppy way of like feeling like I was winning the friendship. Just like.
Yeah. No, I understand that it has nothing to do with me. It's just, I'd feel weird.
I might be well adjusted here.
In this one circumstance, I think you might be more well adjusted than I am.
It happened. It finally happened. What? And Gary, yeah. That's the greatest gift of all.
It's the only one. It's the only gift of all.
That's what I'm hearing. Anyway. That's what my random just showed up in the middle of the afternoon one day.
Yeah. That's how intrusive thoughts work.
Yeah.
That's how me thinking about you going all out on Christmas made me feel weird in the middle of the day. And I was like, well, I can ignore this itch or I can scratch it. And I scratched it.
Yeah. Basically, my philosophy to anything like that is if it costs $40 or less, or I do it. And if it's not, then I don't.
Yeah.
Like this year, I spent $40 on my shirt for Duckstream, which was an overspend, but I'm really like the shirt. So.
Yeah. What's your budget with your wife for Christmas?
Up to 200.
Okay.
But also, I ask her to give me a list of things, and I buy those.
Okay. Got you. We're doing 100 this year because we're just taking it back a little bit.
Yeah.
House is fucking expensive.
That's what I've heard.
There's a lot of weird hidden expenses. So, getting anxious about money just because money exists.
It does.
So, yeah, trying to work on that.
It still does. Yeah, it's a real shame.
Yeah. Pretty happy with what I got my wife this year, though.
Yeah? Do you want to? She listens, doesn't she?
She does listen.
So we can't say.
So as far as she knows, it's a honey-baked ham.
Mmm. Oh, my God. I don't actually like a honey-baked ham, but
What?
I like a honeyless ham.
Honeyless ham?
Honeyless ham.
That's a dreadful euphemism.
Yeah.
Like that's the worst phrase for dry pussy I've ever heard.
Sure.
But two, really?
Oh, I don't like a sweet ham.
Now, you don't like a sweet savory thing very much. Is that true?
Generally, yes. I'll like with some exceptions, like the coconut curry at Hot Yai, I love.
Mm-hmm.
Jamaican jerk sauce, I enjoy a lot, but generally I'm a little iffy on savory and sweet together.
Hmm. I love that.
Usually
combo.
They're too fucking sweet.
Yeah. A lot of times that is true. And I don't like something that is too sweet on its own, but I do like something that is too sweet, by which it means I get it soon.
Yeah, arrives soon. Yeah.
Yeah. But every once in a while you'll get like a, you know, before I was trying to take care of my body better, I was, you know, every once in a while treating myself to a fancy coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And those are disgusting.
Really like disgusting. Every single one of them, they have dumped 8 million pounds of sugar into.
It's not even like from a health thing. They just don't taste like anything else.
They have just like Dutch Brothers is like the worst criminal about this.
Yeah.
Or the human bean. Yeah. I got one from the human bean lately that was the sweetest fucking thing I've ever drunk.
Yeah. It's gross. So I just get plain coffee from those places now, which feels like a huge waste because it is. But the actual don't like them too sweet, but you throw some ham in there and I'm into it is my point.
Yeah. Just a little ham and coffee.
Yeah. Like you get a ham stick, like a swizzle stick made of ham. You know,
yeah,
and kind of stir it around, sweet and salty.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sorry, Gary, I got really distracted thinking about that thing you invented and getting like real hungry for it. Fuck.
Yeah, I got a little hungry as well. Just it's coming up on lunch.
Got a little rumbly in my tummy. Today? Maybe get a smackerel of honey ham.
Yeah. What are you having for lunch today?
Probably sandwich.
Yeah. What kind of sandwich?
I don't have anything prepped. I don't have anything. Maybe, sorry, what did you ask?
I said, what kind of sandwich?
Oh, ham and cheese. Just ham and cheese, probably with some kewpie mayo on it.
Okay. Throw a little honey on there?
I won't. No, I don't like honey in general, except on my chicken nuggies.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have some leftover Qdoba.
Qdoba, not Chipotle?
No, we're a Qdoba family. I used to be a Chipotle family, and then Liv convinced me. We had them back to back, and the Qdoba was way better.
I find Qdoba dry.
No, this is anything but.
How'd you wet it up?
This is the moistest. This is the wettest pussy in terms of honeyed ham that there are.
Like, that's a real good sentence, Gary, and I'm glad that you said it.
The sweetest plum.
Congratulations on winning this week's Guppy Best Sentence Award.
The sentences. I'm sweeping the sentences. Yeah. But this is quite moist.
Okay. What protein are you putting in there, man?
This one I went chicken because I've been having some bad stomach stuff, so I didn't want to get anything like too spicy or exciting.
Yeah. That sounds bland as fuck, man. You're not putting queso in there either, are you?
Oh, no, there's queso in there.
There's queso in there?
Of course there is.
Oh, there's big time. There's your problem.
No, I mean, there's my problem for my stomach.
Yeah.
I was having a stomach problem before the Qdoba.
Okay. That just means that our understanding of cause and effect is imperfect.
Sure. Time is an illusion that helps things make sense. So we're always living in the present tense. I get it.
It's wild that I am the less embarrassing nerd on this episode of Guppy. It's never happened before.
Should we bring up Homestuck or something? Do you want to catch up?
I mean, but if I did that, I couldn't straight up quote the ending.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's not a good ending.
I'm not saying it is.
Yeah, no, the thing I quoted, it is worth, it's a good ending.
Yeah, you're just
it's not worth it.
Quoting the little Korean video game machine singing his little song.
Yeah, it's real sad. I don't have emotions from things as often as some of my friends do. It makes me real sad.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's very special to me.
What was the last thing you had an emotion about?
Putting aside like emotions, like, are we putting aside emotions like sadness?
No.
And anxiety? Would you say?
I said no, but if you'd like to, if you think it'd be more interesting, then.
No, I don't think it would be more interesting. Then the last emotion I had was yesterday being, very sad. Morale was very low. On Gary Butterfield yesterday.
Oh, put it aside only, and bring in the happies then.
Not only was I having a bad health weekend, but I, motherfucker, I got the hiccups for 40 minutes.
You baby. Poor baby.
And I hate the hiccups. Like, hiccups kind of hurt me.
Yeah.
Like, my body violently hiccups 40 minutes. And I was like, this is just fucking my life. And I Googled it and it said, you go to the doctor if it lasts 2 days.
Yeah, man. The doctor's not going to like it if you come to him with 1 day of hiccups.
Yeah.
And tell you,
I'm like, I've had hiccups for 40 minutes. He's going to be like, yeah,
can
it's
we,
a waste
of can we, resources. Let's, Gary, you don't have to say what happens. We have the magic of improv and role play.
That's true. I'll be me. You be
Dr. Cameron Jerry, Smith. What's going on?
Hey, Doc, I've actually, I know this is good. This seems like it's not that big a deal, but I've had the hiccups for like 40 minutes. It's really unpleasant. It kind of hurts.
Boo. All right. That's my first line of defense. You try holding your breath?
Yeah, I tried that. I've tried drinking water. The only thing I haven't tried is being scared, but I don't know.
Oh, I think Discord might have eaten me yelling fear. Boo at you.
Oh, yeah, it didn't work. We're doing a Zoom meet.
Yeah.
COVID too.
Gary, I'm terrified that if you keep doing that, you're going to hiccup yourself for real.
You're going to give yourself hiccups. That's true. That would suck.
It's the same
I've
muscles.
Never had hiccups during podcasting.
Yeah.
If it was going to happen, this is the show for it, but I don't think I'm not willing to sacrifice my body for science.
No. And yeah, I think at that point I would say, oh, go away.
Yeah. The doctor would say that?
Yeah.
They'd say, like, here's your bill, and then they'd say, go away. Am
oh,
I right?
God, they love their bills, don't they?
Yeah.
Are they the people of Buffalo? Because they love their bills.
They love their bills. It's like they go to a bills bar where they all pay bills and talk about the bills they've charged.
And who's the bartender? It's a duck.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't walk into it. We got a rare monster today.
We do.
I don't see this guy very often.
So I've certainly fought this guy, but he's so squishy that I think maybe I killed him before I grokked his gimmick. Ah, God, I hate they took that word away from us.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to give it to him. Like, I understand it sucks, but I was saying it recently, and, like, I said it on a show, and Kay was listening, and I could hear her kind of, like, tense up, you know?
Yeah.
But then we just moved past, and it was fine.
How does that work?
We just ignored it. We just
How would that happen?
Through the magic of notes.
Oh.
If you flash back to the Sonic 3 episode, you can move past anything if you have notes.
I am still kind of mad that I, during that episode, I kept, near the end, kept trying to push, what if we skipped one note of, like, the plot recap of Sonic the Hedgehog 3, and Kay would not give an inch, and you were silent.
Yeah, I also didn't want to give up.
You were cowardly.
I was on Kay's side.
I know.
I didn't want to be made fun of anymore. And she was right to do it.
Just like experimentally, what if we skipped one plot point in the notes that had been written out for that episode and just let it ride and saw what happened if we didn't say one moment of the plot of Sonic the Hedgehog 3?
It was about James Marsden and his father and the redemption arc, and it was important.
It's all so important.
It's all important. We needed to have the entirety of Sonic 3. You judge what's on the plate.
But the rigidity of... No, we're not doing that. Blew my mind.
It was a very funny immediate reaction on Kay's part.
It was like it was a like full body reaction to the idea of skipping one bullet point.
I think it scared the hell out of her.
Yeah,
like sincerely.
if we start skipping bullet points, we'll never stop.
We'll never get back to it, you know. And all that work went into those bullet points.
Sure,
you know. And James Marsden had a redemption with his father.
James Marsden does not have a father in that movie.
Who does he make up with?
Sonic.
What's his name? Sonic?
Sonic Hedgehog. No, like the gene?
Somebody gets hurt. It's not James Marsden's father. It's the
James Marsden gets hurt.
the general comes back?
Maybe no, the general's gone. Dude, you're not. James Marsden is Sonic's father figure slash brother slash friend slash owner.
Yeah.
They have some conflict early on because Sonic's getting too intense.
Okay.
And then he gets hurt by Shadow, and you can tell in the original script he died, but then they were like, well, that's too dark.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. I didn't pay enough attention to the notes.
Yeah, right? Could have just skipped one.
That's the problem.
Yeah. It was just very funny to me that I was just like.
Perfect. That was a terrifying window into a world in which we skipped that note.
Yeah. Really dark.
You see what it's like?
Yeah,
I'm the ghost of podcast present.
What a wonderful life that would be.
Yeah. I fought this guy as well. He only shows up in the mausoleum.
This is the Maze Roamer.
Yes, Scorch Trial. Wanders around the room, shoots eyeballs at Isaac.
Even more specifically, he only shows up in Gehenna, which is the harder version of the mausoleum.
Yeah. And the tricky thing is, he has a clone on the other side of the room that mirrors his movement.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty neat. If one of them dies, the other one just starts chasing you.
Yeah.
Because that's what Isaac enemies do. And he doesn't mirror your movement. We've had those enemies. This one mirrors his own. So there's two of these. They come in pairs.
He's a mummy with one. It's weird. Mummies are already blind because of the bandages, but he's also lost an eye.
He's extra blind. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of a mummy with an eye patch.
I think that's a
pretty
hole.
Cool. No, I mean, but like the bandages are kind of like an eye patch.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He has been enucleated in one eye.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And his mirror, his copy, has been enucleated in the other eye.
Clever.
But he's got a base HP of 12 and a stage HP of 3, which means he has like, I don't know, 50 health. And if you're going to Gehenna, you're probably outputting a fuck ton of damage at this point. So what actually happens is these guys just die real fast and you don't notice that they're doing like the weird cloned movement.
I would like to have a mod that ports these Gehenna enemies and stuff into greed mode.
That'd be great.
So I could fight them again. I'm trying to build up a greed mode streak for a duck stream stakes again. I've tried this a couple years in a row, but I lost my streak.
Yeah.
We'll see if I can get it back up. But I got to 20 and then lost.
And then I'm resisting the past urge to then just talk about Ray Stevens, the streak a lot.
Yeah.
Don't Look Mabel.
Different streaks.
For
I am
different
naked
folks.
I'm playing. Yeah, but I'm not. And I am running through a gymnasium while doing it.
If you ran a gym, do you think if your name was Gymnasium, that would be good or bad for business?
I think you'd get sick of it. I think it would be, at first, you know, it'd be kind of a fun gimmick, but then people would keep bringing it up and you'd be like, fuck. And you'd start being like, hey, call me Mr. N. And
then, obviously, Jim Baree moves into town and, like, lures all the children away.
Yeah. Like a Pied Piper.
Exactly like the Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Yeah. Of Hamelin McGill.
Patrick Fabian popped up on a recent episode of Pluribus.
Oh, I love Patrick Fabian.
Oh my God, his vibes. Have you watched like videos of him?
Yeah.
The most like surfer dude in the world.
Yeah. There's one about him going out surfing with like, you know, with Bob Odenkirk or with Tony Dalton.
Yeah.
And it's real cute. It's like these two handsome men with very like pleasing vibes that I probably have nothing in common with doing this.
They could be your dads.
Ooh, Jessica just ran in.
Hey, Jessica.
Yeah. Hey, Jessica. Oh, she's running back. She's hunting Pocket.
We're not letting Gandalf the new kitten upstairs yet because he'll fall down the fucking stairs like a goober.
Yeah. I love how kittens are idiots and they're not coordinated.
It's good. His best move right now is he has a sideways jumping run.
Oh, yeah.
That is just like sideways hops when he's too excited.
To look big.
He's
like
so
big. They do that to look big.
He's so big. He and Conrad are such good friends.
Yeah. I do have a mild feelings that you got two copies of Jessica.
Yeah.
I
didn't pick the cats.
Yeah. No, I know. We have a Jessica, and then you're like, well, now we have two Jessicas.
Is Jessica your cat?
Yeah.
Okay. The black one?
No. Okay. The one that looks like your cats.
Oh, you got a Conrad.
No.
You got a smaller, weaker Conrad.
No. No.
Your Conrad is smaller and weaker than mine.
You got a stronger, bigger Jessica and a smaller, weaker Jessica.
Well, he's a kitten. He's a baby.
Yeah, and he's fucking weak. It's like the end boss at a final fight level.
Should
Jessica could take him.
We put our four cats in a crate and then bet on it.
Bet on it. Pocket wins that.
Conrad's so strong.
Yeah, Pocket's strong and he's fucking crazy.
Okay.
And he's bit through my hand. He plays really rough, and when he's not playing, watch out. So
okay.
Pocket wins that. You don't want to get in that bet.
I guess I lose all my money.
Yeah. Jessica would be, it'd be like a first level Pokemon. She would just keep doing like the cute eyes or whatever and luring the attack.
So Gary, I have somewhere in my memory, and I don't know where, you referring to animals as real life Pokemon.
Yeah. Animals are like Pokemons, but for reals. And Pokemons are like animals, but for friend.
Why but for friend? What does that mean?
Another good sentence.
Yeah, no. Well, the sentences are a packed crowd this year.
Yeah, it's a big competition between myself. They're like animals, but for friend. As opposed to, you know, for food or beast, you know, burden.
I just feel like it's very upsetting to call animals Pokemon, but real.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunately true. I beat a Pokemon game last night.
Oh, what, for work?
No, I didn't remember that I hadn't told you about this.
Is it the card game?
No, it's not one of the good ones. I was feeling I've had like a Pokemon itch for a couple years.
Is it Pokemon Puzzle League for the N64?
No, that would be great. Unfortunately, no, it's not Pokemon Pinball. It's Pokemon Sword. I was at depression level Pokemon.
Gary, I wish I had just captured the exasperated, unhappy reaction I just had to that.
Me too.
Like the genuine, like, really, man?
Yeah, no, you should be disappointed in me.
So you're not even playing a recent Pokemon game. You're playing the first Switch Pokemon game. No, it's not, dude. It's a decade old.
It's not a decade old.
I reviewed it back before I was running games at the site. So Pokemon, it's not, I don't think it's a decade, a full decade. It is
2019, 6 years.
Okay, 6 years. That's nothing. Okay.
It's the most recent one that's just a regular Pokemon game.
Orange and Violet. Or whatever the fuck they are.
Oh, you're right.
They are weird games, they are technically, yeah, those are mainline Pokemon.
Yeah, Scarlet and Violet. I forgot about those.
Scarlet and Violet.
I was only going to play one.
Yeah.
So I was looking up which one had the most ease of use shit that was still like a traditional Pokemon.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of ease of use stuff. It's not good.
No.
It wasn't a good time. It was a food that almost felt a little bit like fun at times, but really just took hours in front of me and put them behind me and did not require any part of my brain at any point.
The setting is pretty boring.
As depressed as I've ever been. Say what?
The setting is pretty boring. I think like that's the Britain one, right?
It's the Britain one. Yeah. The setting doesn't do a whole lot. I like a bunch of the forms. Mm-hmm. The wheezing that turns into two ultra capitalist smokestacks is very delightful to me.
Yeah.
Some of the little guys are good, which I wanted. But yeah, it was pretty bleak.
Yeah, not even playing Pokemon Zaum.
No, that's one of the, it's like a remake or something. That's like one of those side games. I'm not going to start with that.
I haven't played a Pokemon since more action.
The first level of Sun. Yeah.
So you played Sword, so you got a big sword as your guy?
No, I love the big sword. I love Aegislash. The sword is actually a wolf.
Well, like Sif.
Yeah, fucking sucks. He holds his sword just like the wolf. I borrowed Arceus from Brayden a long time ago, but I haven't played that yet. I want to try it, but I wanted to do a regular Pokemon.
So that's in the same subseries as Zaum.
Yes. And I'm curious about it. I was looking at reviews about it, and they're like, oh, there's not really structure. Like, there aren't gyms and stuff that you do. You just kind of go around. And I was like, well, I want to go. I'm doing this because I'm sad and I don't want to think. I just want to watch a number go up.
So you beat the Elite Four?
As depressed as you can be as a gamer.
You beat the Elite Four?
Yeah. I beat the final challenge. I didn't do the post-game content.
Oh, you got to do the post-game, man. Get sadder again. Get hiccups again. Get sad.
I don't know if I can get that sad. There's DLC. There's DLC levels of sad, too. I don't know if I can get DLC sad.
Gary, you should play your Pokemon game on DuckStream.
Yeah?
While we all watch.
Yeah, and I weep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
Oh, I can pull into my big list of things that I think I can say to make Gary genuinely sad.
Yeah. Yeah, and you wouldn't even need to. I'll just be sitting there playing Pokemon being like, fuck. Nothing's happening.
Yeah, you're just kind of in stasis, right?
Yeah. It's a way to shut down a lot of your functions.
Yeah. I was going to ask what you're so sad about, but the version of me doing the show doesn't care.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah. Well, the version of you that's real knows. We talked about it before we started recording.
Of course.
I don't know if those two versions share any knowledge, but I feel like the information's accessible.
It's accessible, but not interesting. I can feel an overwhelming tide of boredness coming from this topic.
Yeah.
Like, there's a little bit of excitement in the idea of harvesting your pain, but it can't compare with how bored I will be at the part where I have to listen.
Well, just you wait to get bored when I tell you who was on my team.
This I want, yes. Because this is you embarrassing yourself.
Cinderace as my starter.
Sure.
Sucks. Just turns into a soccer player.
I kind of like that he turns into a soccer player.
I don't like it when they just turn into a guy. It's not my favorite thing. Got a Seismitoad. Pretty good.
Sure.
Toxtricity. You know?
I don't know any of these guys. Cool. Seismitoad, pretty good. Toxtricity. I assume that's a poison lightning Pokemon?
Yeah.
Oh, he's kind of a Chef Stark type.
Yeah, he's a Chef Stark type. He is good at music. He plays guitar when he wins, and he gets a boost to all his sound-based moves.
Okay.
You know, had a reason from a baby I got from a trade. I got a Pangoro.
Sure.
I got cute. You're pretty good. One of the new ones from this game, I got a Corviknight, which is really cool. It's a big steel crow. Love that guy. And then a Shiotic, who is a little mushroom man.
Say that one again for me, please.
Shiotic, S-H-I-I, or maybe it's Shiototic. Toptic?
Shinotic, like a...
Shinotic.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a good-looking team, man. None of these guys are embarrassing.
Yeah, pretty balanced, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, only one monotype. I don't really care for monotypes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not useful, not interesting.
Is Shinotic supposed to be like a pun on shiitake? I assume so.
That's my guess. That and hypnotic, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, man. I really appreciate you feeling comfortable enough to bring this information to me and to the audience that I have helped you cultivate on this show.
Yeah. They're going to be sympathetic because they like this genre of games and they like Pokemon. I don't think they're going to think it's as dorky as I think it is.
Yeah, but they are going to cue into your shame about this. It's not that you're playing Pokemon. I play Pokemon sometimes. I played Zaum for a while. It's that you're clearly ashamed of playing Pokemon.
I think you're projecting a little bit. I don't think the audience does that. I think you do that.
Yeah, but again, they are only important as extensions of my will.
They will be sympathetic.
In a way, you're all my Pokemon, since I only consider all of you to just be, like, aspects of my personality manifesting themselves in the world.
What ball did you catch me in? What ball do I get to live in?
Net. Because you're a little bug.
Net ball's no good.
Little bug. Yeah, man, and there's no change in that. You live in the netbook.
Oh, yeah, I know. I wanted a luxury ball.
Yeah, man, I know you did.
Or a friend ball.
No, that one was never going to be in the cards.
Premier ball?
No, I never know what to do with premier balls. I can't tell if they're any good.
Oh, yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
They give them to you like it's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a stagnant, shitty game series. Like, scratch the itch.
What bear are you holding? What bear are you holding, Gary?
What bear am I holding?
Berry.
Oh, no berries. Just the little move booster things.
Okay, great. What are your moves? Yeah. What's Gary Mon's move?
Gary Mon's moves. Now, so I have a little thing that
hold
boosts.
On. I want to talk about this, but I should acknowledge that Gary Mon is absolutely a Digimon name, not a Pokemon name.
Yeah. It's also my name on Discord.
Yeah.
Digimon or on Skype, maybe?
No, it's on maybe Discord. It's on my Discord name. Yeah, you'd be Gary Butt.
Gary Butt?
Gary Butt.
You'd be a combination of Gary and then whatever other thing I am, though.
Oh, Gary Sid. Gary Sad.
Gary Sad? It could be a Gary Sad. Like, you know, a Gar Misery or something like that.
Gar Midlife Crisis.
You know, midlife if I'm lucky. So I think in terms of type,
90s rough.
Probably pretty normal type.
For you, man. 90s rough to think about for you.
Yeah. No, I know. Normal type, probably. You know, sucks. Maybe ground. Maybe normal ground.
I'm sorry, Gary. I'm looking at 90-year-old Gary, and there's no light in his eyes. This is a bummer.
Yeah. It's rough. And I like being alive.
Yeah, the 82-year-old Will is a gas. I'm enjoying that guy a lot.
Oh, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I see that.
No? What are you seeing? Does he get thinner or fatter?
Like worse. Neither, but kind of both. You know, just like more loose skin.
More liver spots. Yeah, okay, I'm getting.
I'm jowly. A little bit the judge from Nothing But Trouble.
Sure.
You know, but without the dick nose, probably.
You. Yeah.
You're welcome. And kind of, you know, maybe smiling, but not in a happy way.
No, his taste for the pain of others has been refined to the level of a gourmand.
Okay.
He's just in the nursing home and he's finding ways to pit the nurses against each other.
Yeah. I think that your mental acuity will take such a nosedive.
This is a mean thing to say. This is a mean fucking thing to say. That's one of the meanest things you've ever fucking said. That's
I think it
really
will fall
brutal.
To the fucking floor. And I think that
really cruel.
What you think is pitting the nurses cruel. Against each other will be largely incomprehensible to them.
Absolutely the meanest thing you've ever said to me on this show.
Your cognitive decline is fucking written in the stars.
Great.
Good sentence.
It sure is, Gary. What are your moves?
Oh, sit, rest.
Great.
Cry, whatever the crying one is.
And leech seed, weirdly.
And weirdly enough, leech seed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hydro pump.
Yeah, sure.
That's when I come. You know.
It can't be piss.
Yeah. When I piss, it's not hydro pump. That's just a squirt. You know, that's a one of a minor water move.
Gary, you can call me if you want to talk or something.
No, I know. There's nothing to talk about.
But if you just want to like shoot the shit and like we could play games together, man. I'm always offering to play games with you.
Yeah. You understand how playing through a single player Pokemon game at 45 scratches a different itch than that, though.
Yeah, like it's a bad itch, dude. It's like the chicken pox itch. Of your brain.
It is. I shouldn't have itched it, but I did. And I just spread
scars.
It everywhere.
Yeah.
Fucking spread it everywhere. I'm going to get the fucking mumps. Kids are having depression parties to have me around so the kids catch depression so they don't get it when they're older.
And it's going to come back again in like, 15 years as shingles. Shingles. Soul.
Yeah. Sad. Yeah, I don't know. It's not, you know, morale low. At the moment,
I would love it if that was the case. Torrance Passage, get him involved in those Leisure Suit Larry games. I'd love it.
Oh yeah. Did I tell you that Al Lowe listened to our WAF panel?
You did. Did the joke I was making there land where you said more Al Lowe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Torrance Passage, Leisure Suit Larry. I think starting with Torrance Passage was trying to do an obscure poll before a notable one. They kind of threw me off a little bit.
I mean, it wasn't intentional. It's the first game I think of from him.
Ah. Yeah, he saw the he stayed for the entire WAF panel.
That's great.
Yeah. Somebody told me, like, hey, I just want you to know. I'm glad they told me after the show instead of during. Because that would have been weird.
I didn't see the panel and haven't listened to the episode yet. Were any of his games on the 7 out of 10 list?
Nope. Yeah, panel's not, the episode's not out yet. Will be this in December. But yeah, it would be very funny if it was. And that is a danger I hadn't really thought of. That is a real danger at PRGE.
Yeah, Leisure Suit Larry 6, kind of like a real strong 7 out of 10 game. Has some relatively good 90s Sierra puzzle solving in it, but it is a Leisure Suit Larry game.
Leisure Suit Larry is pretty, lives in that 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10 zone.
Some of the early ones are so brutal that it's hard for me to give them that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Leisure Suit Larry 1 and 2 are too early Sierra for that. But, like, for the time, you know, it probably felt like that. Now it's like a 7 out of 10.
To be fair, Leisure Suit Larry 4 is a masterpiece.
And I would still rather play Leisure Suit Larry 1 than King's Quest 1.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They're still better, you know? It's like a good 5 out of 10.
Yeah. Gary, can I indulge my pathological need to have my obscure little jokes acknowledged?
Sure.
Leisure Suit Larry 4 is the one that never came out.
Ah.
That's... just a little, I was a Sierra dork as a kid, so I have all that stuff in my head.
Yeah.
A package labeled as Leisure Suit Larry 4 is what introduces the planet-killing virus onto the planet in Space Quest 4.
It's fun the way those guys were friends.
They seemed like they were friends, except that the two guys who made Space Quest ended up hating each other.
Yeah. It's like all great partnerships, though. It's like how the Beatles don't like each other or how Metallica had some kind of monster.
We like each other a lot, though. What do you think that says for the show?
I think it says that we're doomed.
That's kind of probably why the show's pretty bad.
It says that our lifestyle determines our death style, you know?
You're really just a big book of good sentences this week, man.
Well, I took that from Mr. James Hetfield. you know.
That sucks, dude.
Sadly.
Yeah. Everything cool you've been saying this week could have been Mr. James Hetfield, either singing or saying.
James Hetfield.
Yeah.
He is my muse. Where's your crown, King Nothing?
No one's gonna take us alive.
What? Oh, is that a Muse song?
That's Knights of Cydonia by Muse, yeah.
Ah, yes.
As always, I know the songs from a band that were in a Guitar Hero game.
That's the only Muse song I know.
Yeah.
It's because of that. Yeah. But it's also a context in which it's okay to like bad music.
Yeah. Like
listen to a bunch of shit on Guitar Hero.
Yeah. Like Butt Rock's good to play in Guitar Hero.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun, it can be a fun video game and hell to listen to. Frequent.
That Knights of Cydonia is the nerdiest fucking song in the world.
It's somehow nerdier than like Rush. Like it's the 2112 equivalent. You know, the we are the priest of the temples of Syrinx. It's got it's huge source book energy.
You know what? It's because there's irony baked into it somewhere.
Yeah.
Knights of Cydonia is being a little bit ironic about how nerdy it is, and that actually makes it much, much dweebier.
Yeah. Really dweeby. And also, like, you meet somebody whose favorite band is Muse. Not fucking likely.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you meet a frog with a giant red speckled pattern on its back. It's roughly the same concept.
Thinking about it.
It's nature telling you not to touch.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It took me a second there to get there. I was trying to think of the wordplay. I was is there a type of frog that's called Muse?
Nope. Just sometimes. Or Cydonia? Nope. Sometimes nature just paints a frog so you know not to touch it. And that's the equivalent of someone telling you their favorite band is Muse.
Yeah. And when you, somebody tells you their favorite band is Muse, if you approach them, they might release their stink sacks and make you go away that way.
Like, I get that there's a personality type where you're more interested in how good the guitar playing is than how the music sounds. I just don't want to talk to you.
No. AKA the Primus Factor.
The Primus Factor!
Nah!
Which, of course, is the fourth book in the Maze Runner series.
Yeah. Scorch Trial, Death Cure, Primus Factor. Cool Spot goes to LA.
I get that the Scorch Trials is a cooler phrase. The longer you say the Death Cure, the dumber it gets.
A death cure, if it's a cure for death.
Yeah.
Very dumb. If the cure is death, it sounds kind of badass though.
I think it is the former.
Yeah, I know. Which that does suck. But I'm just saying as a phrase, I'm not going to read those books.
Yeah.
Just as a phrase, the death cure,
like the talking cure. Like the talking cure.
Yeah. Yeah, like so somebody is having a problem and you're like, oh, I know the cure, the death cure. I guess
they did do two. sorry, what?
Yeah. Now that I said that out loud, it didn't sound cool at all.
No, it sounded. I didn't want to nail you on it, but it didn't sound that cool.
Yeah, it sounded pretty dumb. Fuck.
There were two prequels, The Kill Order, that's fine, and The Fever Code.
Fever Code?
Yeah.
That's also pretty special. I like Fever Code. That sounds like a sequel to The Andromeda Strain.
It does.
Yeah. What is it? The Hot Zone. You ever read The Hot Zone?
I don't think I did read The Hot Zone. I'm vaguely familiar with
the barely fictionalized account of the Ebola virus.
Yeah. Isn't that what they turned into Contagion?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I read it as a teen. I was interested in the Ebola virus.
I was doing Jeopardy on stream the other night. And there was in a 2025 episode, there was a reference to this classic dystopian trilogy. And it was talking about fucking Divergent. Or nope. Famous. This was in the category American authors.
That's ludicrous.
It was really rough. Chat and I came together in beating the shit out of that.
This absolutely famous American author, the author of City of Ember.
Victoria Roth is the Divergent author, I guess.
Yeah. No thanks.
Okay. The Hot Zone was a TV series. They made a TV series out of The Hot Zone.
Yeah.
And The Hot Zone is not fictionalized. It is really about it is straight up about Ebola.
It is about Ebola. It has things that happen. It felt sensationalistic to me as a teen.
Sure.
I feel like it's probably pretty exaggerated for terror.
For terror.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like this show is exaggerated for terror.
I think this show is very scary if you come at it. Previously, we had the image of 90-year-old Gary Butterfield, and then a lot of conversations about my real fears about how my cognitive faculties are already leaving me, and by the time I'm 82, will be completely gone, and I will be senile.
Yep. Got it in one. If people like the show, what should they do?
Who fucking cares?
Think about it while you still can.
Who gives two wet shits, man?
Think about it while you still can. You're going to miss being able to consider that.
I only have 6 years left of thinking. Why am I going to spend it on how people can support this?
That's true.
Dick loss show.
This dick loss show. The not dick lifts. Dick loss.
Dick loss.
Hello, I'm Dick Loss.
And I'm Dick Wolf.
Together, there's a story to tell.
I can't talk shit about Dick Wolf. One of my friends works for Dick Wolf.
Oh, interesting. He's one of the Dick Cubs.
It's a woman.
Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV. You can also leave us ratings or reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict.
You sure can. Like this one, I don't think I have one. I think we might have blown. This is a double record in case it wasn't insanely clear. And no, I have no fresh reviews to read.
Well, that's a job for our audience.
Yeah, fix that.
when that
we
happens,
got another double record next week. So
yeah, you guys fucked up. We didn't fuck up.
We didn't fuck up. We're doing the same quality of content that we've been doing the whole time.
Yeah. You fucked up. Either you're listening wrong or you didn't do a review good enough or enough.
Yeah. They don't have to be very good. I've read a lot I would say that about 80% of the reviews that I've read over the course of the show were mediocre at best.
I might go a little lower than that, but not that much lower.
Yeah.
I feel like I say that's a good one about one out of every three times.
Yeah, you're a little bit of a soft touch.
I'm a soft touch. You know, it's why I'm going to be a nice grandpa. Yeah. Instead of like addled.
Highest rated show on the network.
That is true. But that's only because of transphobes yelling at Wolf.
Sure. Yeah.
Anywho, no ghost.
Yeah. The economy's only the way it is, but I still like the money. Wait, no, I don't want to support. No, I'm anti-transphobes what? Too.
Yeah, good. Good. It's good that you clarified that, Grandpa.
Fuck. My brain!